Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, what an honor to gather, and regardless of the surroundings, regardless of the four walls or the ceiling, you are here, and we thank you for being here, and we thank you for always meeting us. We thank you for the promise that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. You will meet us wherever we are, at whatever level we want to meet you at. And so guide us today as we continue through the Psalms. It's such a great Psalm. It seems like every week is always just over the top, but just so meaningful and so important, it seems. So lead us now by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Well, Psalm 113 is a pretty sure Psalm that Jesus sang that the night he was to be betrayed and crucified the next morning. It's one of the Hallel Psalms, and we read in Matthew and Mark, and they departed and they sang a hymn. So this would have been one of the ones he would have sung. And it is a psalm that you can say it's full of his majesty, and it is. But it's also full of his condescension, of his humbling himself to point of leaving high above the heavens to come all the way down to the earth. And not just to come to earth, but to come to earth as one of us, and then to die that we could live. And so it's hard to get our hands around how great he is. But to understand that greatness, it seems like we have to understand how he would humble himself. And some have said, when we say he's high above the heavens, how high is that? We don't know, but it's been said that he has to come much further down to get to the heavens than we do to get up to the high above the heavens, because that's how far out he is. I mean, it's how big he is. How gloriously big he is. And then to think he's picked us up out of the dust. You know, King David would say, you brought me out of the sheep coat. I was just a shepherd in the dust, and you raised me up. And you are all what, princes or princesses? You're all royalty. And think where we were. We were dust. We were dirt. We were nothing. Without him, we still are. But he has bought us. He has sealed us. He's purchased us with his blood, and we are so important. We're so valuable to him. And I don't know if you look at your life as that valuable or not, but you should. And he wants to work through us. And then he shares his glory with us for doing that when we don't deserve anything, right? Because we can't do anything. But through him, he will work through us, right? So I do think we'll start out in majesty. The first five verses of this psalm are very majestic. And I was thinking of Jack Hayford's Majesty song. So let's sing that to begin, if we might.
Majesty.
seated. So Psalm 113. As I mentioned, a Hallel psalm, that means it's a praise psalm, and this would always be sung at the beginning of Passover. It was one of the most important. These psalms are really one of the most important in Judaism. And they would always sing these songs, and this would be sung at the beginning of the Passover meal, and then additional ones would be sung with each successive cup they would drink. But here we have Psalm 113. Praise the Lord, or hallelujah is what that word is. Hallel is praise, and Yah is Jehovah, so it's praise the Lord. So it begins with praise the Lord, and it ends with praise the Lord. And the rest of verse 1 is praise, O servants of the Lord. Now, are you praising him? And you, as one of his servants, one of his children, if you're not praising him, who is going to praise him? I mean, but we want to praise him, right? Praise, O servants of the Lord, and then what? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, name, as you know, especially in the Jewish culture, meant character. It's a character of who he is. So as you're praising his name, you know, Jesus in the model prayer said, what? First thing you do is, Our Father who art in heaven, what? Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. And so the name is so important, isn't it? We praise the name of the Lord. And then thirdly, blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, then we have an interesting phrase here. What? From this time forth. So I put down this morning, 9:23:23, at 6:40 p.m. or a.m. So from this point on, I'm going to praise the Lord, right? From this time forth and what? Forevermore. Now also, from the rising of the sun to its going down. So that means what? All day long. It also means, if you think about that, from the east to the west. So all of the way around the world, from the east all the way around to the west, around the world, we're to praise the Lord, and we're to praise him from the rising of the sun to its going down. And then again, I repeat, the Lord's name is to be praised. So how much did you praise him yesterday? Or the day before? Or whenever you want to pick, last week? Are we praising people? Are you a praising person? Now, I can guarantee you, if you're murmuring and complaining, you're not praising him. You're thinking about yourself, and you're thinking about all the problems you got. And in your eyes, they're big. But when we think about him, they aren't even on the scale. We don't want to minimize prudency and discretion. No, no, we want to take care of our, you know, if we've got problems with our bodies, we want to do best we can to take care of them. But we can't heal them, only he can heal them. And only it's all him, right? I mean, your very breath. Why can you take another breath? Because he's giving it to you, and one day he won't give it to you, and you're going to be then breathing in heaven immediately. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Maybe today for the whole church. We don't know. Verse 5, who is like the Lord our God? And you can just say, no one, nobody, no way, never. There is no one like the Lord our God. You may hear of people who disagree with Christianity, you're too narrow. You say there's only one way. Actually, when you really look at it, we're the most inclusive thing there ever could be, because Jesus doesn't have any competition. There is no competition. There is no other way. There is no other way. So you want the way or not? Oh, I want a different way. Well, it's not what. There's no other way in here. There's just one way. And he's giving us to that. He condescended and came down and hung on the cross that we would not have to die. And he took it all. And that was just the physical thing. Think of the wrath of God for just your sin, just my sin. And the wrath of God for all the sin of all the world for all time We can't even imagine one fraction of what that was. He was despised by God at that point. He was crying out, Eli, Eli, la bak sethayani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Unbelievable what he went through. So I don't care what pain level you've ever been at. You can call it a 10 plus or maybe you even have a 20 plus. I don't know. But it's not a candle to what he's been through because he's our eternal high priest. He's been there, done that many, many times over. And you know, we know that. But that's who loves us. And that's who our Lord is here. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high. Who dwells on high. And how high is that? Well, we don't know. But we do know the size of this universe has grown from 4 billion light years when I was in school to now it's over 20 billion light years. That's pretty fast growth, isn't it? Now, I mean, I was in school, but not that long ago. It was a long time ago, but not that long ago. But we, every time we get a new telescope, we find the universe has expanded to the extent of that telescope, right? And the telescopes now, the micron telescopes or whatever they are so far superior to anything we ever had in the past. So we can see a lot further. And we don't see a sign out there, even with those telescopes, end of universe. You don't see it. So it's still out there further, right? Still out there further. So now we get to a very key verse here, I think, who humbles, who goes low, who humbles himself to behold. Wow. Coming all the way down to see clearly, although he sees from anywhere, but humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. So get this picture, if you can, in your mind. Here is this majestic God, no comparable to him anywhere ever could ever be. So huge that as high as we can think, that's not even the beginning of where he is. I mean, he's everywhere, but he's so high. And yet he'll come all the way down for me, come all the way down for you and love you and care for you. And the answer is yes, he humbles himself to behold. I like this little section, and there's so many little sections we could read, but just the section in the Gospel of John in chapter 14 here. Again, this was the discourse the night before he was to be crucified the next day. And in verse 19, he says, a little while longer to the disciples, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Now here's the verse, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now think of that. The majestic God, not only coming to the earth, but he's going to come into your heart and dwell there forever. Can you grasp that? I don't think so. But I can read it, and I know what the words mean. We will come to him and make our home with him. Now, is there any part of your heart that's off limits because he won't move in there? Is it all open to him? And finally, the last verse in that little section, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So we either are or we aren't in that. We either are such that he's dwelling in us or we're not. It's pretty clear, isn't it? I mean, everything about him is so, in one way, so simple that a little child can understand. You know, no means no and yes means yes. A little child can understand that. We can't. We say, yes, but there's but circumstances here, Lord, that you have to take into consideration. In my case, because I'm special, right? I don't think so. I mean, we're special, but not in that way. Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. Now, here's where he lifts us up. Verse 7. He raises the poor out of the dust. Boy, were we poor and needy before him, right? We were in the dust. He lifts the needy out of the ash heap or dunghill in the Old King James. He lifts the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap. Can you picture yourself there where you were and where you are now? Positionally? We're actually seated at the right hand of the Father with him right now, positionally in heaven, aren't we? Spiritually, not to the body yet. That'll come. So he raises us up and lifts us up. Why? Verse 8, that he, God, may sit him, that's us, with princes. Now, we're all with princes this morning because we're all his, right? But think about being allowed to sit in this family of his. He invited us in. We can't join. This is not a club where you say, I want in. I'm great. You can sign me up. Pay me a bonus. No. You only come because you're asked by him, invited to come by him. That he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. That's where we are today, right here. And now finally, honoring the procreation, honoring motherhood, honoring how important it is for women to bear children, particularly in that culture, because if you didn't bear children in that culture, you were kind of despised and set aside as just worthless, kind of worthless. But here, look who he closes this with. It says, he grants the barren woman or the childless woman a home. I think in the Jewish tradition, if you were barren, you couldn't own a home. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Isn't that great? And then it says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, as we look at your word, we can't grasp the enormity of you. We can't grasp your humbling yourself to come here. And you were before the beginning, Lord. And Lord Jesus, you didn't come. I shouldn't say you did come to Bethlehem, imparted supernaturally into Mary's womb. But you were before the beginning. But you came as a man at that time and had to come as a man to meet us where we are and to take our place, to be our eternal high priest, to be our close relative. And yet you had to be fully God to divinely forgive our sins and to become the justifier and be just at the same time. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. So we just bow down this morning and just want to praise your name. We notice in this psalm there's no petitions. There's no murmuring. There's no complaining. There's no crying out for help. It's just praise. It's just pure praise. And Lord, there need to be times for in our hearts where it's just pure praise. We're just praising you. We're not praising you to get something. We're not asking you, oh, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Oh, by the way, I praise your name, Lord. Thank you. Well, we want to just pure praise as we think of that this morning. And we've already read from this time forth and forevermore. I want to give you pure praise. And thank you for these mornings of giving us some time to just quiet down and wait for the Spirit to lead us in prayer and then just to offer these petitions or whatever that whatever you put on our hearts, Spirit. So guide us now in Jesus' name. Father, I just want to pray for those you have in each of our hearts that have not seen any real fruitfulness in those around them that they love so much. So nothing more important than praying for the lost, Lord, and we can't save anybody. But we can come against the wicked. We can say, in the name of Jesus, may the blinders be removed. And may they see you clearly, and may they receive you. May they humble themselves before you and repent of their sins and be saved. So permanent, so final, so forever. One of two places. You let us choose where we want to be. I would pray for those choices today to be made. Now is the time for salvation. Today is the day. You know all those things, and you want none to be lost. So it's not really in your court. It's really in ours. Everybody who does not refuse you will be saved, it seems to me. And yet we don't know how that all works. But we cry out for those who you put in our heart to pray for. And now, Lord, we just want to close with an old hymn, "To God Be the Glory." We want to give you glory. We want to praise your name as we close in this song. To God be the glory, great things he has done.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. You'll find it on your song sheet. And join in with us, please, as we lift our voices in song together.
To God be the
he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. Together, everyone.
Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son.
We do praise you, we worship you, and we thank you. Bless each one here, Lord, and may we be a blessing to somebody today as you open that door, and then we go through it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.